Welcome to the More Than Books podcast, everybody. This week, it's Controversy with the Hugos. So this is not going to be necessarily a super fun one, but prepare yourself. Today with me, as always, is my co-host, Joel.
Hello.
So, yes. So, Hugos, Joel, what do you know about them?
I know that they're a science fiction and fantasy award for literature and fiction. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. I wrote down some stuff because I did a few searches on the old Innerspace, and it is named after Hugo Gernsback. I think that's the pronunciation. He created Amazing Stories, the Amazing Stories publication in 1926, and in the 1950s, the award was created to honor his memory, and then it has existed consecutively since 1955.
Now, the Amazing Stories, that's one of those old, like, kind of pulp magazines that used to print a bunch of, like, Isaac Asimov and early sci-fi.
Absolutely, yes. No, that's precisely what Amazing Stories is. I don't know how long Amazing Stories lasted, but I know it had been around for a very long time. And as a matter of fact, I think they even made a few movies based off of Amazing Stories. Oh, well, maybe I'm thinking of something else. But anyway, it is, as of right now, it's considered science fiction's most prestigious award. It's in a close second to it is the Nebula, which the Nebula has just not been around as long. And it is independently strange award in the sense that nominations for the award come entirely from the Worldcon convention, or World Convention. So how this process works, because I wanted, in understanding how the process works, explains on how the process is being manipulated, because we're going to get into a whole bucket of drama. In the months between January and March, every member of the Science Fiction World Association, Writers Association, I don't know why I said world, each of the members of that association, who incidentally are also all attendees of Worldcon, are allowed to nominate up to 5 people or works from the previous year in 15 different categories.
Okay.
So sounds pretty straightforward. So they nominate. And then early April, which is why we're talking about it right now, because it just kind of happened, a short list is announced of the 5 finalists in each category, and the final ballot is then sent to all the Worldcon members. So that includes anyone that has purchased an ancillary membership, which means they're not going to attend Worldcon, but they want voting rights.
But it also includes everybody that will be attending Worldcon or presenting at Worldcon?
Correct. So it does include all those individuals. So then, all the members that are at, or all the members of Worldcon then cast their final ballot. And then voting ends in July with a preferential ballot. So essentially, they kind of vote during that time. Everyone does their final vote during that time frame. And then if there are ties, then it comes down to the people. Kind of the final votes come down to the actual attendees of Worldcon. I feel like they are kind of the last kingmakers in that particular vote. And I say that because that it matters. There is reason and purpose for using that particular phrase. So yeah, that's essentially how the Hugos work.
Now, to kind of understand just how prestigious this award is, what are some of the most famous writers that have won the Hugo Award in the past?
Oh, Isaac Asimov. I know. I believe Arthur C. Clarke. Of recent memory, John Scalzi. I will admit I am a fan of his works, or at least some of his works. So yes, no, he has won. Sadly, I don't think George R. R. Martin has won one, but he has been nominated multiple times for many of his different works.
Okay. I just actually pulled up a list on Wikipedia.
Got a short list on the old wikis.
Yeah, and this is just focusing on the Best Novel Award, and it looks like going back in the, you know, in the 60s, we have Kurt Vonnegut and Robert Heinlein.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. That's who I was trying to think of. I'm like, oh, I know him. Yes, Heinlein did win.
Frank Herbert, the author of Dune. Anne McCaffrey, who was a very famous fantasy writer.
Terribly prolific as well.
Isaac Asimov, as you mentioned. Yeah. Arthur C. Clarke.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of big names on this list. Marion Zimmer Bradley.
Also quite important in fantasy predominantly, but that's that is the interesting thing is
L. Ron Hubbard was nominated.
No, L. Ron Hubbard has been nominated multiple times, and not in. There have been moments where, if I recall correctly, Scientologists or Scientologist groups have tried to get his works just based on that, but when he was an active author, I believe even his works were nominated at that time, not just all of his more recent heritage. So,
yeah, it looks like there's a William Gibson and Orson Scott Card on this list as well. Not necessarily as winners, but nominees.
Generally, I mean, not necessarily everyone wins. Which, as a matter of fact, George R. R. Martin has created a group and party membership surrounding the people who have lost Hugo's or has lost in the nominations. I believe it's called the Hugo Losers Award. So it's a little I enjoy the fact that he treats that a little tongue-in-cheek. But it is an honor to be nominated in general. And I would say that, for the most part, every single author that has been nominated has been, in some way, shape, or form, been of value and purpose.
And for the most part, it looks like a lot of them have high literary value as well. I mean, especially going back to the classic Hugo Awards. There's a lot of Kurt Vonnegut and authors like that who are still very well regarded as being great writers.
Right. And I have no doubt that, I mean, the Hugos have consisted for a very long time to be thought of as a kind of high literary award, even though the person that they were first, that the award is named after, really kind of started off in what we would consider pulp fiction.
Well, I think most classic sci-fi came out of that bubble as well. That's where they got published. That's how these authors got their start.
Right. They matured within the pulp fiction world, and publications like Amazing Stories probably were extremely important in their success. I'm sure not everyone that has received a Hugo kind of started off in those areas, but you can't win an award unless you're published, so you got to get published somewhere. So it makes perfect sense that the Hugos and the name Hugo is kind of lifted up as a champion.
So what happened this year that that makes this controversy?
Oh, okay. So here's the lowdown. There's a group of predominantly authors and like-minded folk who feel that the Hugos are an award of the people, and that for too long the works found on the Hugos have been not necessarily reflecting or reflectant of the fans' kind of their tastes. It's predominantly people that have are looking for high literary works, and they feel are not necessarily even science fiction or fantasy titles, or only maybe because they're in a particular setting. However, they don't follow necessarily the same literary tropes that science fiction and fantasy has kind of established.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I found this Slate article by Katie Waldman that I'll have a link to in the liner notes or show notes, since this isn't an album.
We don't mean to say this lightly, but the group is entitled The Sad Puppies, which, if you have read anything about The Sad Puppies as of late, a lot of it has been defamatory, and I think I stand with Joel here to say that we are not looking to demonize anyone necessarily with this particular podcast, but we do want to kind of discuss the ramifications of their actions. Okay. So without further ado, let us describe precisely what they did.
Well, first off, Katie, in this article that I mentioned, the Slate article, it kind of explains that, you know, this is a perfectly legitimate subject for debate. It's the belief that science fiction fantasy now underserves a particular type of fan, writer, and work. And the age of space operas, fun, swashbuckling, populist, may have passed into something less triumphal and more shaded. Similar to, you know, how Jake was describing, where's the fun now? It's serious and
it's if you look literary. At the last like 5 years for the Hugos, those works, while are great written works, fabulous stuff, not necessarily what everyone is reading within the science fiction and fantasy community. Certainly people are reading them, but there is a lot of popular works that are selling like hotcakes that will never see a Hugo. And so this group of gentlemen, the Sad Puppies, decided that they wanted to, in some ways, point out the fallacies of the Hugo and how the Hugo nominations can be swayed, and also to point out, or and also to take back the Hugos from the what they perceive to be literary snobbishness. I think I can safely say that is their viewpoint, and that is the point they are trying to make.
So I think they did this by posting a list of recommended works that people should vote for to be nominated. And this isn't the first year they've done this. I think the group started about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, this is year three for the Sad Puppies campaign. The first year, it did not work out so great. The second year, I believe there was at least one person from their prescribed, and in their campaign, they prescribe a list of works that they are asking their supporters to nominate. The second year, at least one selection from their what is considered a reading slate, one was selected for each category. It's a pretty big win. And then we get to this year.
And it kind of went viral this year. I mean, I will say, looking at the list of nominees this year,
let's look at the facts. Yeah. We don't want to get into the political squabbling that's happened. We just want to kind of talk about.
We'll get into it a little bit.
Yes, it's unavoidable. Unfortunately, I think with this
definite controversy with this, because people, I mean, it may not have been the intention of the Sad Puppies group when they originally set out to highlight different winner or different works that they thought should be eligible to win. But there's been a lot of political backlash because some people are perceiving that it has to do with the fact that there's been more diversity in writing lately, and they're trying to squash the female voice or the minority voice. That's not true with the Sad Puppies. There are females and minorities that they were pushing.
Yes, there are represented individuals of marginalized races and genders. That is the nice PC way to say that, which I'm fine with saying that. There's no doubt about that. As that therein lies kind of the conflicting issues and why there have been infighting on blogs amongst popular science fiction and fantasy authors. Namely, if you've been paying any attention to George R. R. Martin's blog as of late, which you might have because you might have been interested in hearing about the latest season of the good old Game of Thrones.
And isn't it great that he still writes on a live journal?
It's really amusing that George R. R. Martin still has a live journal.
Thousands
and he writes
of
on
words
it.
A month he puts out on a live journal. It seems.
I feel like he alone keeps that site alive. I'm sure that's not the case. And please, I don't want to get an email from LiveJournal. But just want to say that I feel as if their platform is not aging very gracefully. And it is never more apparent than if you spend any amount of time on George R. R. Martin's blog.
And if you're ever interested in his views on sports, because I know he talks about football a lot during the football season.
He's a huge football fan.
His live journal is the place to go.
For a man as nerdy as he is, which is just to show you can be a nerd about anything, That man is nerdy about some football. So which is great. Although it definitely annoys, I think, his readership when he goes off on sports tangents. When they're like, I just want to hear that you're writing. I just want to know.
Just give me the next sample chapter.
Give me the book you promised me, which neither here nor there, he never promised you anything. let's just be happy we have a fantastic TV show. And that he is working probably as hard as he can in order to make a good book. So, enough about that.
We could talk about
Game of Thrones and George R. R. Martin, but that will have to wait for another episode.
Before we dive into, I guess, George R. R. Martin's thoughts on what's happening, I just want to point out that the ballots, there are not a lot of votes that go into this. Like, for the best novel had the most votes, just looking at that, it's very easy to sway. There are only about 1,827 ballots were cast for best novel, and far less than that for all the other categories. So getting 100, 200 extra people to vote can completely change the nominees.
It would destroy the voting. If you can get 200 people or more to vote,
maybe even less, like maybe possibly dividing, yeah, you know, there's five nominees, so you only need a couple hundred votes for
right
one item for
and,
it to
and you will
become
lock
a nominee.
You will lock in that vote, and that is how they did it. They published this year a full data slate, and they said, if you support our concepts, if you want to take back the Hugos, if you want to see science fiction and fantasy awards go to people that are writing what we deem science fiction and fantasy to be in the classic sense, then please vote for these people, and we will, quote-unquote, take back the Hugos.
Yeah, and, you know, as mentioned, anybody can vote if you pay that $40 or something like $40 or $50.
I think it's $50 this year. I think it might have gone up, which boggles my mind because I think that that's ridiculous. I don't know why we're raising prices on an exclusory voting system, but we're going to talk about more of that later when we try to solve the problem, which I don't think we're going to do, but we're going to try.
So to kind of understand why this became even more controversial, I mean, it's not so much what the Sad Puppies did.
No.
It's the bandwagon that was jumped up. Like, they kind of started the whole, let's
take back the Hugos.
Yeah, let's
the
Hugos.
Let's start this kind of politicized voting campaign. Let's get people to show that they can make a difference in how voting is done for the Hugos.
Well, another group saw that message and saw their list and decided that was a great idea, and they decided to do it too. And they call themselves the Rabid Puppies because they're a lot more aggressive than the Sad Puppies.
Significantly more aggressive.
And they're led by a man that calls himself Vox Day. I think that's his pen name.
Theodore Beale is his proper name. Theodore Beale is an interesting gentleman. He appears to be very intelligent. He is of Native American and Hispanic and or Mexican descent. I believe he has stated himself that he is of Mexican descent. And he is a creationist, if I recall correctly. I'm stating these as facts. There's no political agenda here. I'm just telling you. And so he tends to lie on the more politically conservative side of science fiction and fantasy. And as an author as well. He has a incredibly popular blog called Vox Populi that he posts to.
He's known for getting into feuds with authors online, including John Scalzi.
Boy, howdy does he get into some real tiffs, and says some pretty inflammatory things on the internet, and is not afraid necessarily to state his opinions on a whole slew of topics, and none of which we really necessarily want to get into. But if you do just a modicum of research, you will find out all about what Mr. Vox Day thinks of many things.
Well, he's been accused of being a white supremacist.
That one I don't necessarily think is true.
He's been accused of it.
He has been accused of these things, yes.
He's definitely not a fan of women's rights. I can safely say he is, from his own words.
He himself would argue that point, but there, as far as the populist concept of feminism is concerned, I would say that he is not in support of feminism. Which is, as the Webster Dictionary defines, to be the equal rights of men and women. And that's me just off the top of my head. I'm not reading this. So,
well, he has an article specifically titled "Why Women's Rights Are Wrong." That's the title of the article. I'm not editorializing at all. And he's not just talking about it in the sense that you're talking about.
Yes. No, I understand.
But... Yeah. We're not going to get into his beliefs.
We are not attacking necessarily Vox Day,
and I don't want to give him a platform.
I also do not
want to espouse his beliefs.
I certainly don't want him to use our podcast as a platform in any way, shape, or form. If you want to learn more about Vox Day, you can certainly go to his blog and read about his views.
And it's safe to say he has some extremist views that the mainstream do not agree with.
And that has caused the major, major backlash with the mainstream media over this particular issue of the Sad Puppies campaign.
A lot of the coverage has kind of lumped the Sad Puppies and the Rabid Puppies together, even though the creators of the Sad Puppies are trying to distance themselves from the Rabid Puppies.
They definitely are not in agreeance with everything that Vox Day has said or is doing.
Yeah, they both published their own lists of items that they thought should be nominated for the Hugos. Their lists have primarily mostly overlap. I did kind of an overlap analysis of the two lists along with the Hugo nominations, and 46 of the 85 nominees were on both of those lists. They were on the Sad Puppies and the Rabid Puppies.
They're list. Very similar lists.
So that's 54% of the actual nominees were on both of those lists. They had some differing. There were four nominees that were unique to the Sad Puppies that the Rabid Puppies did not vote for, and there were eight nominees that were unique to the Rabid Puppies that the Sad Puppies were not trying to vote for. So it seems to me that by the Rabid Puppies jumping on this bandwagon of trying to change the votes, they actually ended up being more successful than the Sad Puppies. And they were the ones that pushed it over the edge to actually full-blown taking over the Hugo Awards.
Right, because if you look at the voted slates and you look at the actual nominees that came out, I would think there's maybe, throughout the whole, like, 80 nominations, like five are not on either list.
Actually, there are 27 that are unique to the Hugo Awards.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that were not on either list. Granted, a few of those categories had the Rabid Puppies or the Sad Puppies weren't pushing anything.
They just don't care.
Yeah, and they were kind of like art categories, like the one that absolutely best fan artist, best graphic story, which they only pushed one in that category.
Oh, that's right.
And
yes,
that person did get the nomination. But there were four that they didn't push. So all in all, yeah, there were about 30% of the Hugo nominees were unique to the Hugos. They weren't on either the Sad Puppies or the Rabid Puppies preferred list.
So therein lies the issues that at this point in time, the Hugos are pretty much dominated by a outside group that was fairly well organized, really, really pushed for their particular voting slate, and was able to get the nominations that they wanted.
And it should be noted that it's Vox Day himself was nominated twice, and from his own... He nominated himself on his list, and he managed to get two nominations.
Yes. It's fantastic. we should mention that the two gentlemen that do the, or predominantly organize the Sad Puppies campaign, which is Corlea and Torgensen, I think are the last names.
Torgensen, Brad Torgensen, yep. is one of the originators of the Sad Puppies.
He's this year's main organizer. Before that, it was Corlea, I think, is the other one. I want to say they're both Bane authors. And Bane is known as a publisher that will kind of publish anything regardless of the author's personal views or beliefs. In my opinion, Bane is fairly fair, but the works that come out of Bane because of that are kind of varied as far as both quality and content. Not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's great that Bane, if they feel that an author's work will sell because they're a publishing house and they want to make money, that they'll take on anybody. Which a lot of Bane authors made it to this list. Not overwhelmingly so, but a number of them did. And that's not to say that that is that was an agenda, certainly, of this, but the authors, I think, definitely want to make their publishers happy. But also, they didn't take their own voting works. Essentially, getting back to these two gentlemen, they did not take their nominations.
Yeah, Vox Day did, however, and I think he was very happy too.
Not classy. I believe if you wanted to make a statement, maybe not take that that nomination. Maybe you could sit this one out. Certainly would have made you look like you were a little bit more concerned with the idea of taking back the Hugos and giving it to people that deserve it, not necessarily taking back the Hugos for yourself. There is an argument there, because authors like Brandon Sanderson, the aforementioned John Scalzi, George R. R. Martin, they have all campaigned for themselves. However, they have not created lists, necessarily huge lists of data slates, and organized a full campaign around sticking it to the Hugos, which is what a lot of people feel like is what happened, or at least fans of the Hugos or fans of Worldcon feel. They have not done that, but they have talked to their fans and told them, hey, this author is really great. I think this work is really excellent. You should vote for this person, or you should just at least check it out. Or, hey, if you like my work, please vote for me for the Hugos. That would be fantastic. I would love to win one. So this sort of list creation and proselytizing and reaching out to fans is not a new thing. However, it's never been this well organized, which I think is something to applaud these gentlemen, because I think it's tough to herd any nerd group into doing anything that they would maybe want to do. We're all, many of us, I can't say all, but many of us in many ways are a little on the lazy side. I know I am. And reluctant necessarily to do anything that is outside of our comfort zone.
I should note that Vox Day also runs a publishing house called Castalia House, and they actually got multiple, like, not just the two books that he edited, but they have a lot on this list. I don't know the exact number, but I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, I seem to remember someone, maybe just George R. R. Martin, in one of his posts mentioning, like, why is this publishing house on the list? I have never, it's not that he had never heard of it, because, but it's not a terribly well-known publisher of science fiction and fantasy.
Yeah, it looks like there was eight other categories that, eight other stories or novels that were nominated from his publishing house outside of the two books that he edited.
I feel like that doesn't sit well. That does not feel right to me.
So not only, is he, it seems like...
If there's a bad guy in all of this, if someone is doing this for their own personal views and opinions to try to, looks like to me, to make some money.
Probably. Yeah, it actually almost seems to me like he's manipulating his own readers and followers who may like him for some of his controversial views, because there are people out there that...
Everyone has differing views, yeah. And there are definitely people that agree with a lot of the things that Vox Day says. That's why his blog is so popular. But I also feel like he's using this to sell books.
Yeah, he's doing this for his own personal gain.
That's what I feel like.
He saw an opening with the Sad Puppies and kind of hijacked their attempted...
the campaign.
Campaign, yeah.
No one has really stated that necessarily. But if you looking at everything and thinking from a business-minded standpoint, having a big gold seal that says Hugo on the front of your book sells books. You may not necessarily believe it, and you may not necessarily buy books based on Hugo award winners or even Hugo nominees, but you can type that little phrase at the top of all your books, Hugo nominated author or Hugo nominated work, and people go, huh.
That must mean it's good.
I know the Hugos. That's a word I've heard before because it's been around since the 50s. It's been where this year would be the, 60th year? Yeah, 60th consecutive year of the Hugos. This exact year would be the 60th consecutive year of Hugos. So yeah, there's a lot of years and a lot of history built into that award, and it has meaning and value in the publishing world.
So what are some of the reactions to this?
There have been...
what did George R.R. Martin say? Like, we talked about him earlier, but I don't think we delved too much into what his blog posts actually talked
about. No, we haven't. Because George R.R. Martin has been incredibly vocal on his blog, and that's the only reason why we're mentioning this. There are a lot of blog posts about this. There are a lot of news posts about this. Keep in mind that the mainstream news media unfortunately got some facts wrong. Because of this whole kind of lumping in with Vox Day, with the Sad Puppies campaign, and I think that the Sad Puppies campaign kind of got a little bit of a bad rap. Personal opinion, but that's what it seems like to me. But as far as George R. R. Martin is concerned, he has been a part of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association forever. He might have even have been... administrative member on the whatever ruling class they have, king. They got dukes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's fantasy. He has stated in very clearly in his blog post, which I feel as if his early blog posts were very calm and collected, and then later on gained a fervor that surprised me. I've not seen him quite so... animated in his writing on his blog, but he did state that the Hugos are for Worldcon. That's really what they are. The award started at Worldcon. It's voted on by Worldcon attendees, as we stated right at the beginning. So in reality, the Hugo Award is not necessarily for science fiction and fantasy fans, although he will later on say they represent kind of the core group of science fiction and fantasy fans. That I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but that is what he states. And that the award, therefore, is WonderCon's award. Not WonderCon, WorldCon. So when he states that, in some ways that kind of proves the Sad Puppy's point, is that this is not necessarily an award of the people. This is an award for people who attend a single convention. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because literally anybody can vote on this. They just have to pay $40. $50. It used to be $40 a little while back, and now it's $50.
Yeah, one thing I never quite understood is, how did the Sad Puppies come up with their list? Is it another thing of one person arbitrarily choosing a list, similar to how Vox Day did his?
I think in some ways it's people... some of it is popularist works, works that, such as the last Jim Butcher novel, was a, which Jim Butcher is probably one of the best selling fantasy author, well, I wouldn't call it science fiction, it's fantasy, fantasy authors that's out in the market right now. He's great. I've read all of his works and I greatly enjoy his works. As far as a Hugo is concerned, I'm not sure necessarily if, or at least the way that the Hugos were perceived previously as being kind of for high literary science fiction works, I don't know if he necessarily would give him a Hugo for that. Me personally, I don't know if I would vote for him for that. But in, and a lot of the works are also popularist materials and popularist folk. I will say that the two gentlemen that are running this campaign are somewhat more conservative science fiction authors. So some of the people on this list are writing what would be considered more conservative science fiction works, but and some of it is just simply kind of within the same vein of space operas and like large science fiction and fantasy works. Hard science fiction has been touted around, and it's not just their friends. It's kind of who they feel, these two gentlemen, who they feel deserve the work.
Well, some of the authors I know that ended up being nominated because of this campaign, or the campaign by the combined campaign,
the double campaign
by the puppies, because there is a lot of overlap between the two.
Yes.
They ended up not being very happy with how the whole process came about, and a few have withdrawn their nomination.
They feel that this politicized campaign has taken away the purpose and value of the Hugos. It's no longer about the best written work of the year or the best editor, or etc. It's a popularity contest that has a political undertones.
Now, one such person was Marco Cluse, who was a nominee for Best Novel for Lines of Departure at this year's Hugo Awards. He wrote a blog post on his personal blog stating why he wanted to decline the award or decline the nomination. He says, "I have no choice but to withdraw my acceptance of the nomination. I cannot in good conscience accept an award nomination that I feel I may not have earned solely with the quality of the nominated work. I also wish to disassociate myself from the organizer of the Rabid Puppies campaign. To put it bluntly, if this nomination gives even the appearance that Vox Day or anyone else had a hand in giving it to me because of my perceived political leanings, I don't want it. I want to be nominated for awards because of the work, not because of the right or wrong politics." So that was Marco Cluse's statement on declining his nomination. He never mentioned the Sad Puppies. He only focused solely on the Rabid Puppies, which they were a much more political oriented group than
extreme,
the Sad Puppies.
Extremist political viewpoint group.
Yeah.
Just want to point that out. They would not necessarily deem it that so, but I think if you look at the types of materials that the main organizer focuses on and the types of things that he says on his blog, they are not the standard political views of today.
Another author that withdrew was Annie Bellett, who had a story called Goodnight Stars that was nominated, and she withdrew. She withdrew for a little bit of a different reason, and she basically in her blog post explained that she didn't want to be a prop. "I am withdrawing because this has become something very different than great science fiction. I find my story, and by extension myself, stuck in a game of political dodgeball where I'm both a conscripted player and also a ball." Wrap your head around that analogy if you can. "All joy that might have come from this nomination has been co-opted, ruined, or sapped away. This is not about celebrating good writing anymore, and I don't want to be a part of what has become." So she has a little bit more of a emotional blog post that just explains how she doesn't want to be a political pawn between these two groups fighting over whether or not it's a political slant or not.
Right. Yeah. The people who have the puppies campaigns versus kind of the old guard, I guess they don't have a name that is worth speaking. Some of these people refer to them in a certain phrase, which we're not going to state. Because it is bandied about too often on the internet, and I don't think it necessarily needs to be said. Needless to say, it is essentially old guard versus new guard, and new guard is winning as far as the nominations are concerned. So, Joel, we're near the end of the episode, and I think we want to just touch on the fact that that this is pretty borked. There's not much I think we can do this year to save the Hugos.
Yeah, there's kind of a campaign going. I know another one of the nominees that withdrew from consideration. It was Blackgate, which is a fanzine online, and they got nominated for like best zine. They withdrew, and they're actually pushing that people vote for no one, like when they get into the voting booth.
Yeah, this is, I believe it's referred to as Australian voting, which allows for no nominee voting. So they can just say, I don't want the award to go to anybody out of this list. And George R. R. Martin, by the way, does not want to see that happen. He thinks that is, one, that's kind of allowing what he refers to as the puppies, that shows them that they won. They made enough difference that the old guard has stated that they'll have nothing to do with it. And it will completely ruin, in my opinion, the Hugos. It will bring the Hugos to a grinding halt.
Well, I think actually George R. R. Martin did mention that if in a category you really feel like none of them are deserving, then don't vote for them.
That's true.
But if there is a book that you like in one of those categories, even if it was on
their list,
one of their list, go ahead and vote for
vote
it. Like
for
he's
it.
Not saying do a straight ballot all the way down.
Yeah.
Which it kind of sounds like that's what Blackgate was pushing.
Most people that are really, really offended by what happened, I feel like that's what a lot of people are potentially going to do. I know a lot of people listen to George R. R. Martin in his blog. Hopefully they don't just do the straight no award given vote, but I feel like this upset a lot of people and kind of screwed up their convention this year. So yeah, it's definitely going to hurt the Hugo. And I don't know how the voting is going to happen, so we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, it does seem like this is just something that going forward there's no clear way to fix it unless possibly the Hugo Awards changes how they do the voting.
Which yeah.
I don't know if there's a clear... I mean, they've been doing it this way for a very long time, so there's not necessarily a clear way to fix it or to improve upon what they're doing.
Right. They had the window, the monetary window there to prevent people from ballot stuffing. They just did not want people to, pull the same shenanigans that happen online with popularist votes. Essentially, they just wanted... They felt that if you're a member of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association, you... Or a WonderCon member, which... Or WonderCon. Keep saying it. WorldCon. A WorldCon member, that you are someone that cares and that someone that is going to choose the right book as a winner. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Personally, I think that there should be some sort of monetary block. For instance, the online service Steam just recently made it so that unless you spend $5 or if you place $5 in your Steam wallet, you lose a whole bunch of abilities to converse with people, do voting, etc., etc. Essentially, they strip away a lot of the features of Steam unless you put that money in there. By having that monetary gate, you prevent people from just creating clone accounts or using bots and doing mass voting, and what would essentially destroy the Hugos that way as well.
And I know a few web forums have done similar things where they'll let you browse, but in order to post, you have to buy a membership that costs something like $1 or $5.
Right,
very cheap membership.
Yes, which people that create these sorts of mass voting or mass bots that do many different things on the internet aren't going to want to pay $100 to have 100 bots vote. That's not what they want to do. I personally feel that if WorldCon or...
Well, they already have a monetary wall level.
They do.
If they make you buy a $40 or $50 membership to vote.
But it's $50.
You think it should be higher?
I think it should be lower. I think that...
Wouldn't that just make it more susceptible to abuse then?
It slightly, but however, I think that if people... The one thing that this has definitely brought to light is that anyone can do this. Anyone can vote for the Hugos. I did not know that until this particular issue came up. I was like, what? I could have been voting for Hugos for the last 20 years? I mean, not that I would have when I was a teenager, but... Because I didn't have $30 to $50 to spend every year on a membership. But if it was $10, $15, maybe even $20, it's kind of on the outside of my purchasing for this sort of stuff, I would be willing to drop that just to have an opportunity to say, I want this book to win. Now, I know that people who are members do get some sort of... booklet or support or something to help essentially with the voting. So they get some swag. They get something for that membership. But I think if I just wanted voting rights, which is mostly what everyone does with this, if it was $10 or $15, I'd probably get one and I would vote. I feel like that's the way to do it. I don't know. What are your views, Joel?
I think that if you lowered the price, that could make this kind of viral abuse even more widespread because more people will be able to
participate. Yeah, they'll be more able to participate. Yeah. That means you will get people that are outside necessarily of the political views maybe voting.
Yeah, but the people that are most energized are the people that are...
Care?
Yeah,
that they care about this award.
Well, the people that are organized, and the people that are organized are the ones that are in these groups.
Yes.
If you have one author saying, you know, I have my book, it's new, I like it, you should vote for it, I see that all right. But if you have a group of people pushing a solid list of these are the titles we're going to vote for, and then they get a viral campaign going, and they get 200 people, 400 people to sign on... That's it. That's the end.
That will lock in those votes. And it's because WorldCon is so small that it's perceptible. This kind of attack is extremely powerful. And you could say it as an attack, or you could just say it as an organized campaign. But in many ways, it feels like it's kind of an attack on the Hugos. But that is aggressive language that I don't necessarily want to use.
One writer did write Ken Burnside, and he was a finalist. He did say, I'm a finalist. I wouldn't be without Sad Puppies. I honestly think there's a best choice for the category that I'm in, and it's not my piece. It's also neither of the other three pieces designed to elicit Schadenfreude, which I think would be the ones pushed by Vox Day. I would love for there to be a database that lists all eligible works for a given publishing year with a field for the authors to flag for, this is the piece I think best represents the best of my work, and use that to generate a recommended reading list in mid-January.
Now, there is either a magazine or a site called Lotus that does produce a list of a reading list every year that has essentially been influencing the Hugos for years. Hugos, really any science fiction and fantasy awards, so the Hugos and the Nebulas.
And I think that's okay, because it's one thing to have a comprehensive reading list that has everything.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
But it's another thing entirely to have, these are the five nominees I want you to push, go vote for them, that's it.
It is a little different. No, there's certainly more option. There's probably about 15 to 20 selections for each area rather than just five. So there is some difference there. But that is not to say that they haven't necessarily been somewhat shaping how the Hugos look and feel for who knows. I don't know how long Lotus has been around or how long Lotus has been around. So there has been some sort of assistance for probably for a long time. It's not just been popularist votes. There have definitely been other people that have been helping to organize voting on the Hugos for quite a while.
And, you know, this kind of goes into a whole gatekeepers versus fans conversation that's been happening on the internet a lot recently in a number of different industries.
Yes, and it's...
Who decides what is good and who decides what is quality writing?
I think every single individual person gets to decide that,
yeah.
Which is why everyone should vote for the Hugos, and they would be more likely to vote for them if it was cheaper. Yeah.
Everybody's very passionate about their side, and
yeah,
that's understandable.
And
I don't know an easy way to fix it. Maybe your way would work. Maybe it would.
Or it would backfire completely, and it would cause people to buy up multiple accounts because it's so cheap, and would throw the voting off even further. It's definitely possible. You can't get rid of these slate lists because that kind of defeats the purpose of the Hugos themselves, or at least the popularist vote.
And maybe it needs to be more like the Oscars, where the Hugo Awards themselves have a nominating committee that picks.
That's been brought up as well, and there are a number of people that feel that that's still not necessarily going to fix the problem, and it also kind of excludes the concept that the Hugos have been the award of the people, even though, as George R. R. Martin has stated, it's really Worldcon's voting award. It's really not necessarily anybody else's.
So, I don't know what's right. Do you know what the solution is?
I frankly don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't know how they're going to change it.
We can let the audience make up their own mind then.
Yeah, I think so. I think listeners, you're going to have to kind of figure out and maybe pay attention to how the voting lies. I'm not going to be surprised if no award given sweeps this year. I feel like there's probably a lot of people that are really fed up with what's happened and are probably going to do it out of spite. It doesn't make me feel real good because I've always looked at the Hugos as being kind of a guiding light to high works of science fiction and fantasy.
Yeah. Well, regardless of what happens, it's clear that the reputation of the Hugos has been damaged by this entire fiasco. Whether or not it can recover or they can find some way to solve the problem in the coming years, I guess we will find out still.
It's definitely shown that the Hugos have kind of stayed behind the times so as Worldcon, for that matter. And there's a reason why they're a tiny convention, is because they just don't really promote it very heavily. I will say to our listeners, we are a Midwestern podcast, and Worldcon in 2016 is going to be in Kansas City this next year. I am really gonna try to go. Not because I want voting rights, not necessarily, but because it's mostly the Worldcon is other places. It's usually not this close to home. And I may even do some volunteering while I'm there, just because I'm a big fan of science fiction and fantasy, and maybe I'll get close to some authors. Maybe I'll get some signatures. So and I will admit that maybe there are some personal and reasons for wanting to help out, but I think it'd be a cool opportunity. So thanks, everybody,
for listening to us.
Yes, prattle on about this terribly political nerd rage infight against
nerd rage is so popular right now.
it is the thing to be angry at stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's in their 20s over here. So, but with further ado, we just want to say thank you guys for listening and sticking out with us to the end of the episode. You can always find us on our blog. I will someday get us on iTunes, hopefully. Maybe this episode I'll do it. We'll try. But thanks again for listening.
See you next time.